Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do a podcast episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 210. I do not have a guest, thus ending the streak of several weeks of having a guest for you. I'm going to say that it's not my fault. I made plans with people. They changed said plans. So we're going to reschedule and have those. And then there's things that happen with me that I had to change plans and break plans. Has some really good guests lined up. So going to have to reschedule that. But the show is here nonetheless. It's a little late, but I'm here for you. You know, this show started with just me. And it can, I don't need guests. I don't need them. I like having them on. I like them. I mean, it's better for your benefits. You can hear somebody else talking and not just me navel gazing for an hour plus. So we're going to try to make that happen. Get you some more guests on. I have some scheduled, but I'm in the middle of a blizzard right now and I'm alone in my apartment I did get food. I have the last blizzard. I wasn't as prepared, but it was just a day. It wasn't like the end of the world. I don't even remember what I ate that day. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad. No. Anyway, so we're in snowstorm Stella. Stella! Hey, Stella! That's a streetcar name, Desire reference. I was in that play in college. I was Black Stanley. They didn't call me Black Stanley, but I was in that show, and Stanley, they called him a Pollock. So you just picture them calling I was in much better shape back then. Yeah, it's funny how, like, I was always a big dude, but I was way less fatter than I am now. And I was a good looking guy. Like, it's not like I'm ugly now, but I could shed a few LBs, obviously. But it's funny, like, I was talking to my parents, it's just like, yeah, you know, you know, when you were in Chicago, you first moved there, you know, you were in good shape and all that. I was like, yeah, but I still thought I was fat. So it's just like, I don't know, it's like I'm a teenage girl, what the fuck? But anyway, I'm doing that show, I did that show, and they would call me a dumb Pollock. So that's essentially the same thing as them calling me, like, a dumb nigger to a certain degree, so it was an interesting thing, and there was this, I feel like I talked about this before, but there was this, in college, there was this thing called the Irene Ryan competition, where you'd get a bunch of kids, you get a bunch of college students, and you do a college production. So we did Streetcar Named Desire, and they have this person from another school come to adjudicate the show. And then they nominate actors from the show, and you get to go to this, like, Irene Ryan mini festival. And there's like the first round of it or something. You go, a bunch of kids from the region would come and do scenes and monologues, and then they would get moved on to the next round. Eventually, you would end up in the Kennedy Center, and I think they're at the Kennedy Center in D.C. and there were awards and shit. The first year, I didn't even know anything about it. I was in this play called The Misanthrope by Molière is a French play, translation by Richard Wilbur. It's amazing. It was an amazing production. Shout out to the Mount St. Mary's theater program and Dr. Blauer. And we did this. This was 1998 when swing dancing was big. It came back, and he and Dr. Blauer did this. We had like a swingers version of The Misanthrope, and it was a play about this guy who was a misanthrope. This guy named Alceste. God, this is really getting fucking nerdy. I played his friend. I played his friend Fallant, who's like his buddy. I was basically the Pacey to his Dawson. I remember that. I remember that was when Dawson's Creek was hot at the time. God, that was almost 20 years ago. Almost a year shy of 20 years, yeah. And I remember that was like he wasn't my spirit animal, but that was Pacey. Pacey Witter was my starting point. Like, oh, be earnest and kind, you know, nice, or whatever. Anyway, I got nominated to be a part of the festival, the first round at this college in the Juniata College in Huntington, Pennsylvania. And I remember we got snowed in at that place. It was fun. And I remember This will lead us into something that'll be really interesting. So you get nominated and you have to choose to go to this festival, and you have to choose a scene partner, and you pick a scene, and then you do a monologue. So this is around the time, and I feel like when Calandra Hackney was on the show, we did kind of talk about this, and it was just like just the ignorance of not knowing anything. And so I did this. We did a scene from a David Ives play, and then I did a monologue from The Miser, which was another Molière play about this old dude who was a miser. And he was a stingy guy. And I remember I did that play. I was the miser. I was the miser Harpagon in my sophomore year of high school. And I just played this old guy, and it was a fun show. And I did a monologue from that. And I'm like 18 years, 19, 16 when I did that, and like 19, 18, 19 when I did that. And I didn't know, like, I should pick somebody closer to my age. I didn't really know about August Wilson. I wouldn't find out about him really until maybe like my sophomore year. So I was a year shy of being awakened by his artistry. God, I'm such a douche here. I'm sounding so pretentious, but fuck it. I'm telling you a little bit about my story, you guys. If you're living in the Northeast, you're in a blizzard. What else are you doing? What are you doing? You're eating Oreos and watching Netflix? Come on. So I did that monologue, and one of the judges was just like, I remember playing Harpagon, and I remember embodying that role. He was just being a douche to like an 18-year-old kid, like how he did the role back in the day. And it's just like one of those people that's like a bitter, maybe he was like a bitter person because he's like at this small liberal arts school that nobody's ever heard of, and he's judging other people with dreams that haven't been crushed yet. So he's just kind of shitting on my stuff. But I could have picked, probably I should have picked a better monologue, but I didn't know. Like, I was just an 18-year-old kid. I think kids nowadays are more adept and more primed at doing stuff, because now you have stuff like, I would say, like, with the advent of, what's the fucking movie that Zac Efron came? High School Musical. And all these kids are now like super aware of theater being in the drama club, that being like a sort of a farm system to educational theater, or just like putting in the work and really learning your chops and being an actor. So we didn't really have, it's not as, and I think I've talked about this when I think Katrina was on. I've talked about it with Felder online about, like, now, like, homie, the homie Michael Felder. Shout out to Michael Felder. Got to get him back on. Just talking about, like, it's cool now. It's always going to, Felder and I were going back and forth, it's always going to be cooler to be an athlete. Like, that's without question. But now it's a cool thing to be in the drama club. And, but if sometimes if you look, sometimes if you, but there's a lot of shit with that too. Like, there's a lot of shit with being in, I think any type of club, any type of group or organization, you could always see like the bullshit in it, but I'll get back to that. So that guy was being a douche, basically, long story short. And I did that role and I blah, blah, blah. I was like, dude, you're like 45 and you're judging a fucking show in the middle of nowhere. And like, what have you done? What have you done? You know, you create something, you know? So I don't know. So that, I guess that's just going to lead into what I wanted to talk about. Some of the things I wanted to talk about. I was in, while we're on acting, I had this shitty experience at an audition last Friday. I was, I'm just going to say it. I had this audition for Elf the Musical. And last year, it's like the national tour. So I had this, I auditioned for it, maybe another production last year. And when I auditioned, my manager just put me on tape doing the scene and for doing the Faison Love part. And he's, you know, like, he's kind of the jerk, the asshole manager's like, hey, what section I assign you to? And he's like, oh, Santa Claus is coming and all that, whatever. And I was like, okay, it would be like a fun part and pretty good money. And so they put me on tape and I sung a cappella. A song, and it was cool. Didn't get it, fine. So I get the call that they're doing it again, and at towards the end of the year, Christmas time. I'm like, bet. So I was like, okay, I got the sides. Do I need this? Do I need to sing? And they were like, no, but just prepare something. So I go to the audition. Audition day comes. I go down, and I'm just there. Like, I park. See, one thing I had, you, when you live in the sub, I live in Jersey, not far from the city, but I drove into the city, paid for parking, and it was only going to be like a half an hour. And I was like, okay, hopefully this is just a half an hour and they won't overcharge me. That was one thing going through my head. And I get there and I get to the building and I'm looking up and I'm like, hey, is this the room? Where's like room A? And they were like, it's across the street, and I'm already late. And I was like, fuck. And I go down the elevator, go up, go across the street, go. And I'm fine. Like, I sign in. And there's a couple people ahead of me. And this is one of those rooms. It's this place called Pearl Studios. They've got these different studios in New York City where casting directors will come, and they rent out their rooms, and they do auditions. Some people do rehearsals there. It's like a rehearsal space. You rent these rooms. I've shot some stuff in there, like, cool. And it's people auditioning. You could just like sense the desperation of young actors, like they're warming up in front of you, like ma. Louis C.K. has a bit about it. Like, this girl, like, one time he was on the train and this girl was like, la 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 la, fuck you, nurse who's worked 12 hours that day. I'm better than you. But you just have all these people. I butchered that Louis bit, but it's on his Live at the Comedy Store album, and it's really funny. But you have all these people, and they have dreams. Like, these kids, like me when I was 18, and I had dreams. And it's like all this like desperation pressed, packed into this one room, and it's just like, it's kind of annoying. And granted, I'm 37 and I had those dreams, but I always wanted to be in show business for a long time, but I just felt like I never really succumbed to, like, I was just never desperate about it, because I trained to get the small things that I've gotten, and or I've worked hard to get to the unknown position, unknown position that I have now in my field. But I do have that respect, and I think in most fields, most professions, that's important too. But it doesn't always keep the lights on. But when you don't have the prestige and the fame and all the money that comes with that, that's something that can help you sleep at night, when you have the respect of your peers. And at the same time, when you do reach that level, you wanna keep all those things. So I don't know. And I think that just comes with perspective, because I am older than a lot of those people that are there. But I was talking about this with a good friend who I went to grad school with. And he's like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's a job. You want the job. You want to get the job, and you want to work, and you want to, you want to practice your craft. So that being said, sign in. And the guy comes, one of the auditors comes out, casting director, assistant comes out. He's like, Chris Lambert? I was like, yeah. He's like, thanks for having me. And he's like, oh, do you have a headshot? And I said, no. Now, one thing, headshots are, for the most part, they're kind of obsolete. So I've been back auditioning for 2 years, back auditioning for almost 2 years, and I've never had to have a headshot. And in theater, sometimes, I remember when I was in Chicago, you'd have a headshot and your resume stapled in the back, to the back of it, and they look at your headshot and then they just maybe toss it out. And now, like, I remember going to an audition for a play last month or earlier this year sometime, and they had my picture and had a resume. Like, the guy asked me about something that happened back in like 10 or 12 years ago. I was like, oh yeah, that was a theater festival. It was fun. Yeah. And so they really don't, but this guy thought that it was the end of the world because I didn't have a fucking headshot. He's like, oh, can you print something out? And then I was thinking, like, I'm not paying $8 to print out a headshot. I don't even have a new set anymore. I didn't have a headshot, and the guy looked like he was bent out of shape for it, because of it. And I was like, damn. I was like, okay, all right. So I'm on deck. I was like, I'm just gonna do the scene and sing or whatever. And then I'm out there. I'm looking, and there's all these people like warming up, and then there's these girls that have, their song books, and I was like, oh shit, I don't have any music to sing with, because there's an accompanist and that's going to play when you go in there. And I didn't know. I said, well, I got an acapella song. I got these vocals. And so I go into the room and I go into the room, as they say, this is Chris Lambert. Hi, thanks for having me. And there's this woman, this woman, and she's sitting there, and she says, do you have a song prepared for us? And I was like, my managers, I didn't know that I had to have one. This is apparently a miscommunication between my managers and you all. And I said, but I have an acapella song, a song that I could do acapella. And she said, I'm not interested in an acapella song. And I was like, okay, so can we just do the scene? And I did the scene and I just left and I talked to my manager. They were like, yeah, you know, yeah, it's just a miscommunication. We'll talk to him. So guys, I am not going to be in Elf the Musical because I didn't have a headshot and I didn't have, maybe they, whatever. It was just kind of a, that's the pretentiousness of theater. And like, it's a gig, man, a gig that I would have enjoyed doing, but it was just like, damn, y'all giving me like that. It just rubbed me the wrong way that I spent a part of my day to, like, I spent money to be down there to go to, I spent money on tolls and parking and also my time to go down and share my talents with you guys, and you just kind of like, just like, oh, I'm not interested in. I was like, okay, all right. And then the email I got, because I got the email and it was forwarded to me by my manager, where it didn't say anything about a resume, that I had to bring a headshot and resume. I'm looking at the, and the guy was, the one of the dudes was like, we always ask for a headshot and resume. I was like, it's not on my email, but whatever. So I will not be in Elf the Musical. It just rubbed me the wrong way, man. And it was like, really, for Elf the Musical, not Hamilton, the national tour, not Wicked, not, like, you know, anything, like, you made it off a movie. And whatever. All right. Shit. All right. Let me get off that, young. But I just thought I would share that with you. And also, not to mention, last week, my scene in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt got cut. So if you were looking for me to be in season 3, episode 9 of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I was looking forward to it. But the scene got cut. My managers told me that last week. It's really disappointing because, you know, that was like one of the first big, really big parts that I got, and it was a small role, but I could kind of tell, like, in hindsight is always 20/20, isn't it? Where when I got there, they had made some changes. Like, first of all, I thought that I had a line, like this really, really fucking funny line, but I didn't have it. It was for somebody else, because that was a line that I remember, like, reading for. I read like a bunch of lines, but I was like, oh shit, it's this really funny part, and it wasn't me. That wasn't my line. And then they just changed a couple. It was just through a couple, like, side things, really just like throwaway lines, like amen and praise Lord, because it was in a church scene, and it's really fucking funny. Like, the scene that they, it's really fucking good, and it was just great to be there that day. But that's an experience that nobody can ever take away from me, unless I get Alzheimer's. But I'll never forget that, and it was fucking great. And I hope that I can, I hope that I could be a part of that show. I mean, it'll still be credited, I think, on IMDb Pro. Shit, Oscar nominee Ruth Negga got cut from 12 Years a Slave. So, you know, but it's disappointing, but that's show business, man. So I tell you when the shit goes well, tell you when, try to be as honest and upfront as I would like to be. I try to give you enough, just enough, so you can know what the journey is, young, for real. You know what I'm saying? But I did have another audition that went pretty well. See, this is the thing, like, you just, like, I love this shit, and I take it seriously, and I want to do well and everything, but it's not lost on me that it's all, like, it's not the end of the world, you know? Like, I was sitting in this audition, and it was, like, to audition for this thing. It's a TV show. I can't really. It's not much that I could say until anyway. Fuck. Anyway, I was auditioning for a TV show. It's just like one line on a new TV show, and it was two other guys that were auditioning for the part that I was auditioning for, and the rest were kids, like little girls and little boys, and their mothers. It was a couple moms in there. It was like three moms, I think. One of them was just chill. One of the moms just had like, she's like, gave her son an iPad. He was playing with his iPad. They're like 6 or 7 years old. And he was chill. But the other two moms were like, now when you go in there, honey, just make sure you smile and say the line like we rehearsed. And just, they were obviously like stage moms. And they were just like, kind of like, you gotta, and eventually they started talking to me, like, isn't that kind of, and I was just kind of there, and I was just like, because I used to teach those kids that age, and I just said, you know, just make sure that they like doing it, and they don't get hurt from rejection, and I was basically like, it doesn't change, like, this doesn't change, like, I'm 37, and you just go in these rooms, and you just do what you can in the time that they give you, you know, but it's one of those things. It's like auditioning is, it's a part of the job. It's a part of it's a skill set. And I remember, I think it was this movie. It was Vanessa. Oh my God. I see her face. She was on the, I'm going to get it, 'cause I'm going to get this sister's name right. She was on The Practice. This David E. Kelly show. Y'all remember The Practice back in the day? The Practice. I didn't know I was going to talk about this, so I'm going to get her name. She was like, she's a black lady, short hair. Lisa Gay Hamilton. Yep. Lisa Gay Hamilton did this movie. I think it was called like Nine Lives or some shit. No, that was a... that was something else. That was another. Yes, I was right. Holy shit. She did this movie called Nine Lives, captives of the very relationships that define and sustain them. Nine women resiliently meet the travails and disappointments of life. And it's just like all these stories. Who was in it? Holly Hunter is a name that you would know. Robin Wright. Anyway, it was just like an indie movie. I like watched a shit ton of movies, and it's crazy that I remember that. But I just remember her. I think it might have been like a director's commentary or like a behind the scene thing. And she said something about an audition. Lisa Gay Hamilton said this, where she was like, an audition is a one person show that lasts for like 5 minutes or whatever. I just remember her saying that, and it's just like you just have the time that they give you to do your thing, and it was really I remembered it. I remember she said that, and that's how I look at it, because it's one of the most artificial things that you could do in show business, because for the most part, especially in theater, when it comes to like auditioning for a season. So let's say like you have like some type of theater festival in upstate New York, the Woodstock upstate New York, the Catskills Theater Festival, and they're doing Pippin and Romeo and Juliet and The Merchant of Venice and The Lion King or whatever. And you go and audition. You might sing. You might sing a few bars. You might sing 16 bars. And then you might do a classical monologue and a contemporary monologue, and that's it. And they'll say, oh, we like this person. They're casting a season. So that's how it happens. For that Elf the Musical, I should have just had my songbook on deck. I should have just been ready to sing 16 bars and be like, oh, you want a song? Well, okay, I didn't know that you wanted one, but I have my songbook, and I could have rocked out that way. But in the future, if I ever audition for something, a musical, I'll just know to have that on deck. And partly that was a little bit of my fault, but I could have just been ready in that regard. I didn't, you know, I can't blame that on my managers. I'm not even blaming them. I just did not like the fact that they were rude, and they were really pretentious about Elf the Musical. That's what rubbed me the wrong way. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, so that's how that, like, auditioning. That's just how it is. It's a skill, and it's just basically young actors, just be prepared. Be prepared. Yeah, so that's how it goes. Speaking of actors and black actors, there's a buzz on the internet about like Sam Jackson was on Ebro in the Morning last week, and he was just talking about British black actors being taking roles from American act, like African American black actors, U.S. black actors, and I see people get bent out of shape over that. Where with the Get Out's success, you know, Daniel Kaluuya, who plays Chris, is a British-born actor, and he was great, and he's a really good actor. And Sam Jackson was just kind of like, you know, these guys kind of, you know, taking, you know, America. He's like, it's a brother, American brothers that could do that role. You know, I wonder what it would have been if it was like that, and people got bent out of shape. Like, oh, I can't believe, fuck you, Sam Jackson. Fuck you, blase, blase, blah. And I looked at the segment, and it was a real, he wasn't like, they're fucking taking our parts. Ah. And John Boyega, who's a British-born actor, Finn, a.k.a., what's his name? FN2187, whatever his name is. I love the guy. He was like, he said on Twitter, black, let me just read the blurb. Let's see. Oh, God, I'm dead air. So this is from Mashable. Jordan Peele's directorial debut, Get Out, has become the first major movie event of 2017. Shout out to Jordan Peele, first African-American, first black filmmaker to have $100 million debut. So clap it up. Shout out to him. Like, word up, young. But Samuel L. Jackson had one notable critique. The actor told hip-hop radio station Hot 97 that Get Out should have starred an African-American actor instead of the British-born Daniel Kaluuya. Then Britain's own Star Wars actor John Boyega caught wind of the comment. He dismissed it as a stupid-ass conflict. There are a lot of black actors in these movies, Jackson told the New York radio station. I tend to wonder what Get Out would have been with an American brother who really understands that. I mean, Daniel grew up in a country where they've been interracial dating for 100 years, Jackson said. What would a brother from America have made of that role? I'm sure the director helped, but some things are universal, but everything ain't. There are some brothers from America who could have been in that movie, he added. John Boyega says, black Brits versus African American, a stupid ass conflict we don't have time for. I think that's a reaction to that. Daniel Kaluuya had some stuff to say in Vulture, which he made great points. He says, I know what it means to be stopped by police. I've been stopped by police a lot. And the party scene, when everyone was highlighting how black Chris was, and saying black things and being nice, you can't say anything because you know the intention is to make people feel welcome. Only a black guy could write this. Only someone that lives this, he added, referencing Jordan Peele's script. I've been to so many parties in England and in America. That's exactly like that, where you're kind of seen as other. So he had this, there was another, I'm assuming it was in that Vulture piece where he was saying that, you know, people in Brit in the UK say he's too black. He goes to Uganda, they say he's not black enough. So I know, like, there's definitely this otherness that happens. And So I get it, but you're a fucking actor. So I did a play called, in one of the best roles that I ever played, I did this play called Blue Orange, which was, and I mentioned this a bunch of times. I feel like I'm like the Al Bundy of actors, where it's like back in my day, in my younger days, this is a very fucking pretentious episode. I'm sorry, you guys. This is what happens when you don't have a guest on your podcast. But I did this play called Blue Orange, Joe Penhall. One of the best acting experiences I've ever had in my fucking life. Shout out to Jessica Jackson. I gotta maybe try to get her on and talk to her. But probably one of the best actor-director experiences I've ever had in my life, where she just guided me through this role that was really difficult and made me ask and question me and just made me step my game up. And she's out in Colorado doing theater and stuff, whatever. She's doing great shit, whatever, wherever the fuck she's doing. I need to talk to her. And it was just a great experience. And it was a play about these two doctors in London, one young, one older, trying to figure out what to do with this mental patient who had paranoid schizophrenia, and like how to treat this guy. And it was like a black kid that thought his father was Idi Amin and oranges were blue. And it was a really great show or whatever. And God, where the fuck was I going with that? I'm an American actor, and I had to do an accent. I had to do the dialect. I had a dialect coach, and you have to do it. You have to fulfill the demands of the script. Jordan Peele thought Daniel Kaluuya, out of everybody that he saw, was the best in the bunch. He's saying this guy is a star, and this he was in. Before that, you know, he was in. Sicario, where he had like a supporting role, but I thought he was fine. He Black Mirror, he has some credits. He was in Skins, a British series. I don't know that I remember him off the rip, but Skins, like all those actors, those young actors, they don't fuck around. So they're good. I just think like, okay, I mean, this happens with white actors too, like Jude Law, guys from the UK, whether they're not even, what is it, like Chris Hemsworth. Is Chris Hemsworth, he's Thor, right? Isn't he not from here? Is he Australian, right? Yeah, Melbourne. Yeah, so it happens with white actors too, so it's really no different. So why wouldn't it be, you know, with black ones, you know, like Idris Elba, like Sam Jackson mentioned him. And I know where Sam Jackson's coming from. But I think what he was saying, that they were cheaper than American actors. And those actors, and when they leave the UK and they come over here, they get more money than they would have back in their home countries. I think there's valid points on both sides of the spectrum. I just think like if I'm a director and I think this guy can do the role and he happens to be British, I would go for it. But I know what Sam Jackson means, where it's like you got David Oyelowo playing Martin Luther King, and he's like, you mean to tell me there's no brothers in America that could rock out? I get it. And Sam Jackson, this is a guy who's a successful actor, Oscar-nominated actor. He's in everything, and he's been in everything. He's 68 years old, and he's had this journey that if I was in his presence or was lucky enough to work with him, where I would be picking his brain so much. He'd be like, Chris, get the fuck away from me, motherfucker. He would curse me out. So I'm not gonna shit on him for saying that, but and I think he low key said the shit. He matter of factly said it. He wasn't like, this is an epidemic. He was just like it was a really good interview. And he said, I'm sure other guys could do it, and but so it goes. This is why you should interpret things. People will take, and it's Mashable. So, and it's not just Mashable's fault, but that they're a news aggregator. So they're going to take, people will take sound bites and then make a mountain out of a molehill. But if you actually pull it from the context of the interview, you actually get, like, he was just saying, like, yeah, maybe they could, if they got an American guy to do it, it might be a little, it might be deeper. He's not wrong. I don't think he's wrong. And he said, I'm sure the director helped him out. But I think your job as an actor, Daniel Kaluuya did his fucking job, and he was great, and he's going to go on to bigger and better. And the way that Jordan Peele raved about him, he's like, this guy's a star. And he said something along the lines of, this guy's like better than me. And if I could do what he does, I would be doing it. So there's some of these people are just really good actors, and I was yesterday, like, John Boyega is a good fucking actor. Although I did watch him in this movie called Imperial Dreams. That's on Netflix. The script was kind of like, and it was almost like he was play acting at being like from the streets of South Central, and they take like the Pursuit of Happiness hood version. I think now he's going to be doing, I think this was before he got cast in Star Wars, but that guy's a good actor. Like, I could tell when I saw Attack the Block, I was like, this guy's a fucking star. This kid's a fucking star. So it just happens that way, man. But we got Michael B. Jordan young. We got some young actors that are, we got some American born black actors that are doing their thing, man. And one of the things that bugs me, I'll tell you what does bug me, is the fact that they think British actors are the only ones that have been trained. And that's not true. I mean, maybe there's a smaller segment of black. Young, because there's a lot of black. You know what? I'm gonna peel back the curtain even more, because when I decided to go to grad school, I was looking at all of the actors that I liked, that I enjoyed, and all of them had theater training. They trained in the theater. Sam Jackson trained in the theater, and there was a part in that interview. It's Hot 97. I should just put up the link too. Samuel Jackson talks Kong, racism, and Trump, plus the influx of black. Let me just click on this link to see where it, plus the influx of British black actors. And it's not like it just happened. It's just there. But anyway, where was I going? I'm losing my shit. I'm not losing my shit. Losing my point, train of thought. Yeah, peel back the curtain. All of the actors like that, like Denzel went to ACT like in San Francisco. He only went for a year because he's fucking Denzel, and he got lucky, and he's fucking great. Courtney B. Vance, who rocked out last year in The People versus OJ, that was like a role of a lifetime for him. Now, and he went to Yale. His wife, Angela Bassett, went to Yale. Steve Harris from Wood Harris's brother from The Practice went to Delaware, which was a school, grad school for has a great theater program, MFA program. I'm trying to see where, if Wood Harris went somewhere too. He went to, shit, Wood Harris went to fucking NYU. So that's what I'm saying. Like, these people trained, man. There's black actors that have trained and are just as good, just as talented. Wood Harris is like, says he's 47. He's just now starting to show like even more colors. Like, he's been in, his credits are immense, but for the most part, I mean, he played Jimi Hendrix in an ABC movie that he was good in, but like, I'm trying to think, where especially like he's been doing like these black, like he did the New Edition movie, and I was still finding like, God, like Wood Harris has this great fucking quality about him. Like, this, he doesn't get enough credit, basically. He doesn't get enough credit for the type of work that he's been doing. And you're starting to see even more shit now with like that New Edition movie, where he wasn't just like some like shady fucking guy, you know, there was a heart to what he was doing. And then now in The Breaks, which is a really good show, where he's, you know, doing his thing in that. So I looked at all those guys and women, and just not just black actors, but those were the people. And when I was like 19, going back to like being a young college kid, when I was looking in those August Wilson scripts, they would say, oh, this play was originally performed at such and such and such place. Russell Hornsby, who was in Fences, played Youngblood. He originated the role. Man, I think he did. I don't want to put that on him if he did. But like, all these actors that aren't super famous, they started in the fucking theater, and they're American. So that's a perception that needs to be talked about too, because those are the people that inspired me. Shit, I remember seeing Russell Hornsby like 15 years ago, looking in IMDb when he was in this show Gideon's Crossing with Andre Brower, like one of those medical shows that was good, but it just didn't take off. Maybe they did like one season of it or something. And I was like, oh, this guy is cool. Like, I like this guy. Cause he was a doctor, and he had like a fro, like an unkempt fro and a beard. I was like, oh, this guy's fucking cool. Russell Hornsby also in this Barry Jenkins flick, a short film called Remigration. I'm so fucking, oh my God. I'm sorry about this pretentious episode, but there are black actors in America. There are American black actors that are training, and they take their craft really seriously. And so that's a big misconception. Is that right? You know what I'm trying to say. So yeah, I think Sam Jackson has valid points. And I think a lot of times, because people were trying to shit on him, I think he walked it back a little bit, maybe, but I don't think he needed to. That's just his opinion. And you know, whatever. I know where all of them coming. You know, it shouldn't be, I don't think they should be, and I don't think they're really feuding, but it's enough. And he even mentioned in the interview, I would say you should watch this interview, but he even said, like, there's so much going on. There's so many platforms for young actors to do their thing. And it's really a beautiful time right now. And I'm hoping that I can catch some of these checks, you know what I'm saying, from this renaissance, if you will, with black media and black TV, black actors and all of that stuff, man. So I encourage, like, I would never tell a young person, whether they're blood, whatever race they are, to not, if you want to really take yourself seriously, to pursue an education in theater, because it can only help you, but you know, them loans is a motherfucker. All right, so that's it. Let me get off of that. But I thought that I would share that with you. Wow, 49 minutes in. So I'll give you some movie reviews, and then we'll wrap it up. What did I hit everything? I hit that. Yes. So last week was fun. Like, I had to reschedule some stuff because I got a weekend of hosting at Levity Live, the home club. And I hosted Paul Mercurio from the Daily Show and the Colbert Report. Hosted him. It was like five shows. It was really fun. And Daniel Tirado featured. God, that guy's, they were both really fucking funny. I really had a great time. And kind of worked on some, when you host, you can't always give them the, you can't always give them the full barrel, but I got some stuff came out of that. Like, you kind of learn stuff. Little bit tidbits here and there come out when you do a hosting set. But it's just, it was a good weekend. And then last night, I did Wyatt Cenac's show at Littlefield, Night Train with Wyatt Cenac, and that was fucking so much fun, man. That's probably one of my favorite shows. Yeah, I know you always hear me say, that's one of my favorite shows, you guys. But that's one of those shows where you do like once a year, two if you're lucky. I think there's times where I've done it at least twice. But that's one of those shows where like you really enjoy it. They pay you. And they had pizza this time, so that was cool. Really good pizza where I don't know where it was from. But it's a packed up. I always feel like doing that room is kind of like doing a high school play where it's like you're on this elevated stage and there's people. It's like a multi-purpose room in a way, but it's like it's fucking great. And Wyatt, it's funny because Wyatt was riffing and he was randomly talking about Tyrese. And how people just knew him from movies. And he had this Benihana. He had he's so rich that his backyard is like a Benihana or something. And he Googled it and was riffing about that and was talking. And then he introduced me as Tyrese biographer. Chris Lambert. He's a funny comedian. He's also a Tyrese biographer, Chris Lambert. And I got on stage and I riffed a little bit about Tyrese, how nobody recognizes him as a really great singer. And he's got at least two of my wedding songs if I actually find somebody. And then I talked about a little bit. I went into a bit about dating and then did some stuff. But it was fucking fun, man. It was just like one of those really good shows. Like that's one of those shows where it's just like, like comedy, man. Like people, they pay money. It's like, I think it's like $7 or $8 to pay to get into that show. It's a really good show. You see some really good comics, and it's just a good time, man. And it's great. That's like the perfect show. That's like the perfect thing to do before a snow day. Like for me, like before a day, like you don't have to go to work or anything. And you just like, and then one of my coworkers texted me. She's like, office is closed. I was like, yes. And that kind of, that was relaxing. So it was just good to see some people and be around some of my peers. And Wyatt's got a dope. I had to tell him yesterday. I was like, he's got this. And I think I mentioned this on the show last year, but he's got this really good album out called Furry Dumb Fighter. And I had to tell him, I was like, man, that album's fucking great, man. And he's like a humble, nice dude. He's like, Chris, get away from me. He's like, but thanks, man. Thanks. Wyatt's like just a nice, humble dude. And it's like, dude, you just dropped the album and didn't tell anybody. It just seemed. But it's a really good album. I got to see Don Will. Shout out to Don Will. It was fun. All right, so let's get into some movies. I saw two movies last week. I was hoping to see three. I was hoping to see one yesterday because before shows, I like to kill time after work. And I just I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go see Kong. I looked online and I was like, okay, there's like a 3 o'clock show, but I know getting into Brooklyn is a shit show. and I just happened to look at my phone and do the Google map search, and I looked, I was like, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get to Brooklyn. I'm just going to go to Brooklyn right now. And I said that at like 3 o'clock. So I ended up getting there like minutes to five. So I just chilled in my car and watched that Imperial Dreams movie and watched an episode of this Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara show called Schitt's Creek. Not bad. So I just chilled in my car and before the show. So last week, I went to the movies and I saw this movie called Before I Fall on last Tuesday, a week ago. And I was excited to see this. This is a movie. If you know me and you listen to this podcast, if you listen to this podcast long enough, you know that I like my white starlets. And when I saw this movie, with this actress, Zoe Deutsch, who is just beautiful. She's, I'm getting my Mel Kiper on. Beautiful girl. She was in Everybody Wants Some, which was like a critical favorite, indie favorite last year, Richard Linklater movie. She was just kind of like the hot girl. And I was like, oh, she's gorgeous. She's in this movie called Why Him that I have not seen. And she's in a couple other things. But this is like her star-making performance. This is sort of like Emma Stone in Easy A. But this was not a comedy. This was more of a mystery drama. I called it White Starlet Groundhog Day. The critics called it Mean Girls meets Groundhog Day. And it's pretty apropos, I would say. So I'll read you the blurb on this movie. Samantha Kingston is a young woman who has it all. The crush-worthy boyfriend, amazing best friends, and drop-dead gorgeous looks. February 12th is just another charm day in Sam's life until it turns out to be her last. Stuck reliving her last day during one inexplicable week, Sam untangles the mystery surrounding her death and discovers the true value of everything she is in danger of losing. Excuse me. This was directed by Rai Russo Young, adapted from a novel. I really liked it. Zoe Deutsch plays Samantha Kingston. She's also the daughter of Leah Thompson from Back to the Future and Richard Deutsch. So she's got them good Leah Thompson genes, man. Beautiful, beautiful girl. I really liked it, man. Like it's one of those high school movies where it was like you see the archetypes and you kind of know the machinations behind the shit that they're doing. It's a tried and true story, but it was good. It was well done. It was executed really well, and it was just a fun movie. It was just a fun, suspenseful movie. Like obviously, so this girl is reliving her last day until she figures shit out, and then learns from that experience, and then it sort of got heavy-handed at the end. I was kind of disappointed in the end. But it was only because I was invested in the character without really spoiling anything. I think you kind of know where this goes anyway. But I really enjoyed it. It's one of the best movies that you're not seeing in theaters right now. Because, okay, so obviously everybody's going to see Get Out. I'm one of them. I'm not going to be a contrarian about it. I saw it opening day. I was excited to see that shit. Split, saw it opening weekend. Had my girl. See, now Zoe Deutsch is making me forget Shorty that I'm in love. The new White Starlet Bay. Who's my girl, Young? Oh, my God. Edge of 17 girl. Oh, man. Come on, Chris. Wow. Oh my God, Brandon Collins would be disappointed in me, man. I don't have my White Starlet game on lock. This is bad. Oh my God, Haley Lou Richardson. Wow, man. Just see how you forget how soon we forget about the White Starlet of 2 weeks ago. Wow, that's really bad. So what else? Like, you know, this year is starting off really good. So I saw Split. I liked The Founder. I liked Before I Fall. And yeah, it's really good. And we're mid March. So there's been movies out that have been pretty enjoyable. So I recommend Before I Fall. Like, I mean, you don't have to. I mean, Tuesday, if you're anywhere else in America that's not the Northeast, I know AMC has $5, where ticket prices are $5 off. But you have to mention that shit, because when I tried to do it with my, just like swipe in at the kiosk, the ticket said $13.99. And I was like, hey, isn't it like $5 off? On Tuesdays? And they're like, yeah, but you have to go to the register. I was like, oh, you wasn't gonna, like, and they're not gonna tell you. You have to tell them. You have to say, hey, you know, it's whatever, $5 off. You don't have to go see like a mat. You don't have to go see it like prime time, but you could see it a matinee and just have a good time and enjoy it. I got pissed because when I was at that movie, I was sitting pretty close to this mother and daughter that talked the whole fucking time, that I had to get up and move. Cause nobody was in there. It was like maybe eight or nine. It was like less than 20 people in there when I went to see it, like a Tuesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I just got up and sat down. It was assigned seats, but I got up and sat at the other end of the row, and I could still kind of hear them faintly. It's like, why the do you have to make a comment on everything? And like, there's a scene where like Zoe Deutsch is laying in the bed, and just the mom, she's like, she's really pretty. I was like, yeah, she is. Jesus Christ, but could you shut the fuck up? Really good movie. I enjoyed it. I just had a good time. I was satisfied. I was entertained. Also, I will say, I really appreciated the diversity in this movie. Like, there are a lot of, let me see if I can go back and the diversity. Like, so all of her friends. There's the main, like the Regina George's character. She was white. She was a blonde, but she was dating a black guy. She was making out with a black guy at the party. I was like, yes. Like, you know, it's always like a stand in for me. Like, there's hope. Not that I want to just date a white girl. Part of this is a running gag about white starlets. Okay. I love my black women. I just think it's funny. I'm trying to see these other girls. There's an Asian girl that was her friend. There was a girl that was like, her name is, so she's Iranian American. Medallion Ramini. She's Iranian American with Russian ancestry. So she's ethnic. And I appreciated that. Like, the girls in her crew were, so it's two white girls, an Asian girl, and an Iranian Russian girl. So that was dope. Like, that was just a nice little touch that they added to that. I appreciated that. Just like in the way that the Edge of 17 had, you know, Haley Steinfeld had a Asian love interest. So that was cool. Diversity, young, you know what I'm saying? So I enjoyed that. And last Thursday, I went to go, before my show at Levity, I went to go see Logan. I was like, everybody was talking about it. I want to see what the nerds are talking about. So I went, and I'll read you the blurb. In the near future, a weary Logan cares for an ailing Professor X in a hideout on the Mexican border. But Logan's attempts to hide from the world and his legacy are upended when a young mutant arrives being pursued by dark forces. 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. What did Before I Fall get? I want to let me see, because I know they hated on this joint. They was hating. 67. Not bad. Okay. All right, young. Okay. So a lot of people did. Okay. I'm not wrong. See, I'm telling y'all, man. I'm telling you. Like I said. Oh, back to my White Starlet movie. Oh, and I forgot. Oh, so I tweeted about Before I Fall. I tweeted the movie. I said, like, Before I Fall is one of the best movies in the theaters right now. Zoe Deutsch is the real deal. And she favorited the tweet, man. I put it on Facebook. and she favorited the tweet. And I put it on Facebook. And I just put, like, hearts around it. And, yeah, and it's people. Somebody said, you're probably the only person tweeting about this movie. And I'm like, that's not true. It's like me and 14-year-old girls are tweeting about it. Ethan. Shout out to Ethan Allman. He said, you must be the only person tweeting about that movie. And I just told him, don't hate. So it was really cool. She favorited it, and I did a screen cap. And I think in a way, like, I don't know if she unfavored it or not, but I got proof of where she did. So White Starlets are looking at my tweets, even though she doesn't follow. I don't follow her, so why would she follow me? Anyway, so I saw Logan. I liked it. It was good. I've nerded out about theater and acting for over an hour now. So I'm not trying to separate myself from comic book nerds. I'll just say that from a person who does not know all the history and the lore of these comic book characters, I was able to enjoy it, and I had a good time watching it. I definitely saw, when I saw the trailer, I saw these elements of The Last of Us, and I don't think I'm the only person to see that, and because that's one of my favorite. Like, J.L. Covan said this about 3 or 4 years ago, whenever this game came out, and before I played it, I mean, he raved about it. And you know, when J.L. raves about something, he means it. He said The Last of Us was the best, one of the best things in entertainment of 2013. So I definitely saw the elements of this guy trying to get this girl to a safe haven where, you know, she would be with her friends and everything. And if you don't have a fucking heart, how can you not get behind that? And then the action scene. My only thing was, I paid $20 for this fucking movie. I think it was like 17 or 20, something like that. And I got my Stubbs points, but damn, for IMAX. And it's not, and it wasn't even, I don't know if they, at the Palisades Mall, they used to have an IMAX theater. And I think AMC bought that IMAX theater. And it was the legit huge screen. I don't think it's the same anymore. I'm not sure that theater is the same when it comes to their IMAX, but you guys don't give a shit unless you live in the area. But yeah, you're paying all this money for just like one of my coworkers calls it Limax. And it was good, but that was the time, that fit the time frame of me watching a movie and enjoying it and getting my ass over to the club, which is in the mall, but getting over to the club and starting a show, you know? So that's my main concern. So I missed like the first 2 minutes or so, but it was good. Like, the action was really, really violent. It was violent. Like people that I wouldn't expect to really mention the violence was like, it was pretty violent. two of my buddies, I just heard them on podcast saying like, it was really violent. Like, I don't think they spared, they put a lot of money in that blood budget. That blood budget was unlimited because it was a lot of blood. One of the things, like this movie was rated R, and they just said fuck a lot. And I was talking to a friend over the weekend, and I was like, I know it's rated R, but they just said fuck like so much. And he was like, yeah, he's like, what the fuck, man? This fucky fuck, fucking shit, fuck, 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 fucky fuck, fuck. I was just like, could you? You want some dialogue to go with those fucks, you know? And there was just like, there was a scene like just like so many claws going through people, like, you know, like, don't take your kid to see this. If you don't, you'll give the kid nightmares. Just like it is, I don't think it's a movie for kids, even though there's kids in it. Like, it kind of became, I said this and I think it was really fucking funny. If I was more famous, I think it would have got a lot more love on social media. But I said that I said the Wolverine and Angelina Jolie's kids movie was good. Cause those kids, like, it was like a nice, like, cute Benetton ad of all these diverse kids. And, you know, I thought that shit was funny. I was like, it was like Angelina Jolie's kids fighting against bad guys. And, yeah, it was like, so basically this girl was like Mexican, this little girl. She looked like, this is a little inside baseball, but that girl reminded me of like a younger version of Liz Mealy, comedian Liz Mealy. Like, she looked like Liz if Liz had adamantium claws and she was 11 years old. Good movie. I enjoyed it. It was a fun popcorn movie. Like, I had a good time. I was entertained, and it had some emotional heft. You know, like, I like movies where if I can be invested in the character, then I think the movie's done its job. And a lot of people, I've heard people call it like a Western, and them using Johnny Cash doesn't help. I mean, doesn't hurt for you to think that a film like that has those Western characteristics, almost like a No Country for Old Men vibe. More recently, Hell or High Water. You know, not necessarily like I'm a cowboy, but it does have those elements in it, and I fucking enjoyed it. It was fun. So it's a lot of good stuff out there if you're looking for it. If you're looking for a good time at the movies right now, like, you can see Logan, you can see Before I Fall, you can see Split, you can see John Wick, which I haven't seen, really want to. Or you could, yeah, it's a lot of stuff out there, young. I think I said Get Out too. I did mention that. So, you guys, I think that's it. I think that's enough of me blabbing, right? This is an hour and change. So I think you have something else to get you through your blizzard if you're in the Northeast, or it could just get you through your drive. It's a little late, but I got it to you. I wanted, this was good. So maybe things worked out in the way that you could hear me blabbing for a long time. Hey, all right, look, that's enough of me. I've been super pretentious this episode. I gave you some movie reviews. TV stuff. Netflix, I watched Love. I binged on that. I rewatched season one over the past few days, like the past couple weeks, and then I watched, it's really short, like there are 10 episodes, is like 30 minutes long, and I watched season two and I liked it, but I guess one of the reasons I just said if I'm invested in the characters, it's like I got mad at them. I got mad at like the Paul Rust and Gillian Jacobs characters. Like I was mad at both of them for the shit that they did. And so I do like the show. So check out Love on Netflix if you want a TV recommendation. Also, one of my favorite new shows, Detroiters. That show is fucking funny. It's really fucking funny. It's just like I'm enjoying it, and it just seems like each episode is getting better and better, and it's a fun show. So that's the end of the show. I will hopefully have some guests for you in the next couple weeks, and if not, you'll just hear me blabbing and spewing what I spew. I just don't want to end it on that. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Everybody be safe out there and take care of each other. And I'll talk to you next time. Peace.